Hey, good morning. How are you guys this morning? Good, good. Here, let's pray before I get started in here. Lord, we thank you that you're here already. And Holy Spirit, we just invite you to keep on coming. We need you. I need you. I pray, Lord, that you just give me the words to speak. Just help, Lord. Help me to communicate what's on your heart this morning, what you want to convey. And Lord, we just open our hearts to you this morning to receive everything you have. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you guys were here? I can't remember. Has it been a month now? When Travis was talking about feeding yourselves. Do you guys remember that? About how to feed yourselves? You guys, anybody here? Do you guys remember that? Yeah. It's really cool. I mean, this is very timely. The Lord has had me in Exodus 16 probably for 3 months, and I didn't know what Travis was going to be speaking on, you know, that morning, and he was talking about feeding yourself. You know, Exodus 16 is about the manna. Do you guys remember the manna story? Coming down from heaven, feeding yourself. You guys remember? Yeah. It's all right. You guys can talk with me. And, you know, this is really, I believe, on the Lord's heart this morning. I mean, so much so. I mean, this is hilarious. Like, I was this morning just kind of going over, you know, the notes and just talking to the Lord. And I went into the kitchen and I'm like washing my hands and I'm talking to the Lord, you know what I mean, about manna and about all this stuff. And I just kind of look up, and up on the windowsill of the window right there was like a jar full of coriander seeds. And I just had to laugh because how many of you guys know what coriander seeds represent in Scripture? What's that? Manna. That's right. Yeah. And I was like, all right, God, I'm getting this. So this is really on the Lord's heart. I mean, I literally saw a jar. We grew cilantro, and Heather kind of harvested the cilantro seeds, which is called coriander, you know. And sitting there, I was like, all right, Lord, this is on your heart. He's really focusing and highlighting this. And for you guys all know what coriander seed, I mean, read Exodus 16. It talks about that manna. Literally, it was like a white, kind of flaky, round ball. And it literally says it was like coriander seed. So you can't make this stuff up. All right. So anyway, guess what we're talking about today? We're going to be talking about feeding ourselves. We're going to talk about how to receive revelation from the Holy Spirit in Scripture, specifically. We receive revelation from the Holy Spirit in many ways. You know, if you guys been to a prophetic equipping sessions that I've done, I mean, you guys sure know God speaks in tons of ways. But specifically, I feel like the Lord wants to highlight about Him speaking through His Word, receiving revelation through the Word of God. The written word of God. Is that cool? And specifically, if you guys haven't heard the message that Travis shared, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. And I don't know if you guys remember, he had that dream about the pastor nursing one of the congregants, kind of graphic picture. Do you guys remember that? Some of you guys are like, what? Oh my gosh. Yeah, you know, God kind of speaks to us crazy ways in dreams. But anyways, it was a picture of the church currently, of how the body of Christ is still kind of like nursing from the pastors. It's kind of a graphic picture to kind of show that. But that's really kind of going on right now. You know, and God's ultimate heart is Ephesians 4:12. We talked about it. It's the equipping of the saints so that they would come to the full maturity in the knowledge of Christ, right? God's growing us up. He's growing us all up. And one of the best ways that He grows us up is through His Word and relationship with His Word. So I encourage you to listen to that message. Kind of like, I'm not going to lay down the same foundation that he was talking, because he talked a lot actually in Exodus 16 about manna. But I really, really want to focus on how to feed yourself, how to practically feed yourself. Okay, we know the theory, a lot of the theory of like, okay, yeah, it's important to read the Bible. Yeah, when you got saved, you know, one of the first things they told you is to spend time with God, to pray, and to read the Bible, okay? to worship, all these like disciplines of the spiritual life, right? And I'll be honest with you, like in the 20 years, I guess I've been in ministry, I'd say about 50 to 65, I'm giving you numbers, percent of the church really know how to read the Bible. And that's kind of like crazy to me, you know. But I think it's because a lot of times that's what we do to new believers. We just kind of say, hey, all right, you're saved, you're born again, you received Jesus in your life. All right, here's a Bible. Okay, read it. All right, just read it. Keep on reading it. It's just, you'll get it in you. Get it. I mean, what does that really mean? I mean, and we don't actually like teach them how to actually practically read the word, receive supernatural revelation from reading these words on this physical page. Okay? And I just want to kind of go into that. And some of you guys might already, you're experiencing this yourself. But, you know, so this might be just kind of encouraging you to go deeper. You know, the Lord spoke to me when he sent kind of Heather and us out here to Wilmington from, I'm originally from Maryland, and he spoke to me specifically about one of the purposes why he sent me out here, and also for the purpose of this church, really, is he spoke to me through scriptures about Joshua, and specifically about the difference between Moses and Joshua, and that he wanted to equip and mature his body. And there was, if you, and it was kind of through like a dream. I don't know, I shared this a couple, probably months ago with you guys, if you remember the story about a Moses and how the difference between the, Moses was a picture of the old covenant and Joshua was really a picture of the new covenant, and how to have revelation, how to have relationship with God. And it's kind of a picture, a little bit of like what the dream that Travis had, and kind of what I was kind of sharing before about how like some, about half of believers really know how to feed themselves. And we're going to kind of go through that real quick. There's a stark difference between the mature and the non-mature. And if you got your Bibles, I'm going to kind of read through a lot of this stuff, but if you have your Bibles, you can turn to it. This is Exodus 20:19. And this is a picture of the children of Israel and how they interacted with the Lord. And it says, "Then they said to Moses, 'Speak to us yourself and we will listen. But let not God speak to us or we will die.' Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, and in order that you, the fear of him may be with you, and that you may not sin.' So the people stood at a distance while Moses approached the thick cloud where God was." Okay. So how did the children of Israel interact with God based on the scripture? With fear, sure, yeah. What's that? Through Moses. Exactly, yeah. Basically, they're saying, hey, Moses, you've got this tight relationship with God. He seems really scary. And I want you, can you go talk to God for me? And then when you talk to him, I want you to come back and tell me what he says. Do you see this? All right, now put this in today's terms, and not Moses, but the pastor. Do you see the connection? I'm not saying necessarily our church is like this. There's a lot of churches out there where the people, they say the same thing that the children of Israel said to Moses. They're like, pastor, I need to hear from the Lord. Can you go spend time all week long and just get an awesome message on Sunday morning and bring it to me, because you know God really well. And you know, I'm really busy. I've got, you know, kids, I got work, I got all this stuff, and you go do that. I'm going to pay my tithe for you to go do that. You see what I'm saying? This model was completely destroyed through the cross. The New Testament Christian, the New Testament believer, is called to go approach the throne of grace boldly. There's no mediator between God and man anymore except Jesus Christ, right? So there's this like idea that is kind of like woven into our into the church where we've kind of like put this burden on the pastors or your church leaders or your home group leaders or whatever, you know. We all have done it. And it's okay for like young believers, obviously, you know, they're basically spiritually babies. And they need to be fed, just like, you know, when I had my four kids, I'd feed them or, you know, hand fed them and, you know, that kind of thing. Heather really mainly fed them. and it was understandable, you know, like, yeah, kids, you have to feed them. You can't just leave them. They don't know how to feed themselves. You know what I mean? But like, if you got a picture of, you know, like Travis's dream, you know, this older person still nursing, I mean, there's a problem here. And unfortunately, the church itself has kind of encouraged this model, you know. But the Holy Spirit is breaking it down. Amen. And he's maturing his church. He's teaching us that we can actually have access to God the same as any other great man of God or woman of God. That we have the same Holy Spirit living inside of us than, you know, all of our heroes of faith. That there's no favoritism necessarily with God. He loves us all, and we all have the same access to him. Okay? So let's read in Exodus 33:11. And let's just see the stark difference between Joshua and the children of Israel. And it came about when Moses went out to the tent that all the people would arise and stand each at the entrance of his tent and gaze after Moses until he entered the tent. Whenever Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would arise and worship each at the entrance of the tent. Thus the Lord would speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks with his friend. And when Moses returned to the camp, his servant, the son of Nun, Joshua, a young man, would not depart from the tent. So Moses, he would go spend time with God, hear God. God would tell him all this stuff, and then he would leave the tent of meeting, and he would just go and just share with all of Israel. But there was something different with Joshua. What was different about Joshua? What's that? I hear it. He stayed in the tent, right? We talked about this a couple months ago. He stayed in the tent. Why did he stay in the tent? What's that? He wanted to speak to the Father himself. He wasn't satisfied knowing God through a man. He was hungry to know God for himself. You guys ever been in that place before? Like, oh man, it's awesome. You know, we watch like our heroes of faith, you know. I watched some William Branham stuff on YouTube. It's really crazy stuff. And I'm just like, whoa, like, I mean, he would just get these words of knowledge and see miraculous healings. And inside my heart, I've got this thing where I'm just kind of like, Lord, this is awesome. Like, I don't want to live vicariously through this person to know you and to experience you in this way. I want to know you for myself. I want to experience you for myself. Does that make sense? Do you see the difference here between the two? Man, God loves that Joshua heart because that's how he set it up from the beginning. He wanted a kingdom of priests that all of them would be able to come before and minister before God and to know God for themselves. All right, cool. All right, so we're going to talk a little bit about actually how do we know God through Scripture and how do we feed ourselves. So how do we receive revelation? There's a lot of misconceptions about this. You know, if you've been in the, I guess, the charismatic church for a while, you kind of know that you don't necessarily have to have a degree. Some people think that, though. There's this idea that, oh, you got to go to seminary. You got to study really hard to really understand Scripture, to have revelation from God when you read. And this is completely false. You know, who did Jesus send out? Did he send out the educated? Did he send out the seminary students? Did he? He sent out the fishermen, right? Who's been watching The Chosen, right? They were a rough bunch of dudes, right? And dudettes, right? There were like some women in there too. They were rough. They weren't educated. Now, he does use educated people. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the Apostle Paul was very educated. You know, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He studied Scripture and Torah. He knew it backwards and forwards. But yet he didn't know Jesus, you know, until he received revelation. So revelation isn't something that is like earned, that you study really hard, that you go to seminary, that you actually, that's when you can actually hear from God from yourself, that you can understand Scripture from yourself, for yourself. Now, none of those things are bad. You know, I have a master's in divinity and I, you know, or actually in theology, and I loved it. I loved studying Scripture, but I didn't need that to be able to receive revelation from God. It's not bad. The Scripture says study and show yourself approved. There's nothing wrong with studying the Word of God. But you don't need to be necessarily this highly educated pastor that's gone to seminary to receive and to feed yourself from Scripture. Does that make sense? Yeah. All right. So let's go through this a little bit. I felt like there's kind of like, there's really two things, and I'm just going to talk personally about my own life of how I hear from God and what and how that applies to Scripture when I'm reading the Word of God. And the first part is meditating on the Word, okay? Now, I'm going to go through a bunch of Scriptures. You guys can follow along or just kind of listen, but that's one of the first things that when you sit down with the Bible, when you're spending time with God and you sit down with the Bible, one of the first things that you need to do is to read the words, obviously, but to meditate on them. And what that word meditate means is to actually go over and over and over. It actually, you know, literally means, and we'll see in Joshua 1, to speak it out over and over and over again, to actually talk it out. And to kind of like, just kind of chew on it, kind of meditate on it. You know, like meditation was a God-invented practice. Do you guys know that? Meditation? It has just been stolen by Eastern religions. You know, the enemy, he doesn't do anything new. He steals stuff. That's what he does. But God wants us and is encouraging us to meditate on the Word of God. That's number one. So when you sit down and you're reading the Word, don't read for distance, you know? Read short passages and read them over and over and over again. And I even encourage you, speak them out over and read them out loud over and over and over again, okay? Joshua 1:8, I'm going to just read through these. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have success. Psalm 1:1, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit at the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf will not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. So he's saying, meditate on the word of God. It's talking about the law. It's talking about Torah here, but it's literally, it's meaning the word of God, scripture. Chewing on it over and over and over again. Okay? Now, and you guys have probably heard about this. It's kind of like a lot of times when we meditate on scripture, it's compared to like a cow chewing cud. I was talking to a farmer actually this week about his cows, and he was talking about all the different stomachs and how it chews on the grass, you know what I mean? And then it kind of spits it back up and it chews it some more. And the whole reason it's doing that is it's extracting every single nutrient that it can from the grass, right? Because grass is actually kind of hard to digest. So a lot of times this is what meditating on the word looks like, this picture of like chewing on the word, you know, reading it over and over again, speaking it out loud over and over again, and just trying to extract all the spiritual energy and food from the word that you can. All right. And number two, and this is obviously the one of the biggest things that we haven't really taught as a church very well, is relationship and dialogue with the Holy Spirit as you're meditating and ruminating on this word of God. Now, what does that practically look like? How do you like get the Holy Spirit to come alongside you as you're reading the word and have this communication and dialogue with him? Well, it's really simple. You just invite him to. I literally pray every time I read scripture, I literally pray, Holy Spirit, come, open up your word, teach me your word, unveil and give me revelation of what I'm reading. And then as I'm reading the word, I'm literally talking with him throughout. When there's like a passage, which there are still many that I'm just like, man, I have no idea what the heck that means. I take it to the Lord. I say, Lord, I don't know what this means. What are you talking about here? And I'll just kind of talk and dialogue with the Holy Spirit. And he'll talk back. You know, he does talk back. We talk about this all the time. And the way that we receive revelation, if you've been through the prophetic training that we've done, the way we receive revelation in the prophetic is very similar to how, at least as I experience it, how we receive revelation from Scripture. It's not earned. It's not like I'm thinking really hard. I'm trying really hard to understand this scripture. I'm looking up all the Greek and all that. Now, the Lord might tell me to go do all that, but when I'm receiving revelation, when the Holy Spirit is speaking and he's teaching me the word of God, I'm not like using necessarily all my mental capacity, my brain. It's like, boom. It drops. You know, when we teach about the prophetic, when we're having this dialogue with the Holy Spirit, when we're getting prophetic words for people, it's the same way. We receive, and we talked about this before, we receive everything by grace through faith in the kingdom of God. That's how we receive. So this should encourage you. You don't necessarily have to be like a Christian for 20 years and know all the Greek and know all the Hebrew to read scripture and to get supernatural understanding and revelation about who God is and how he works. Does that make sense? Man, that encourages me. Because sometimes I feel like my mental capacity is just like completely drained with work and all kinds of stuff. And I just need to get in his presence and just read scripture and just dialogue with the Holy Spirit and just listen. And he just gives by grace through faith, understanding about who he is and about scripture. So when we read the Bible, we need to recognize that it's words, and obviously you guys know this, that they're God-breathed. They're more than just words on a page. So when we read the Bible, you know, we shouldn't read it. It's just like a normal book. It's like a textbook or something from God, or it's like we're gaining like head knowledge. Proverbs 4:20 says, "My son, attend to my words, consent and submit to my sayings. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and they're healing and health to all their flesh." So God's words, he's saying, attend to my words. They are life for those who find them, healing and health in all their flesh. John 6:63, Jesus is saying, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you, they're spirit and they're life. Okay, if you guys remember that story, he's saying this right after he said that, hey, I want you guys to eat my flesh and drink my blood, become vampires and cannibals, right? And they're like, what are you talking about? But see, they were using their brain to try to figure out what Jesus was saying. And then Jesus calls it out here. He says, the flesh counts for nothing. My words, they're spirit. So if his words are spirit, they need to be spiritually discerned and interpreted. Okay, does that make sense? 1 Corinthians 2:4, but the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit in his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Holy Spirit, for they are folly, meaningless nonsense to him. He is incapable of knowing them because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. Now, that was a mouthful there, but this is just the kind of hammer in the point. God's word is spirit, and we need the Holy Spirit to actually interpret what they mean. Otherwise, we come up with all kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, think about it. Like, think about your favorite book that you have. And there's like parts of the book that you kind of like sort of understand, kind of don't understand. Who is the best person to find out what the author meant in the book? The author, right? I mean, I know it sounds so simple. We don't go to like a book critic. We don't go take a class on a book. We go talk to the author. And who is the author of the Bible? You guys know this. It's the Holy Spirit. Now, men wrote it, influence and carried along, the Bible says, by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:20 says, but know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. No prophecy is ever made by the act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Acts 1:16, brethren, the Scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit foretold by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a god to those who arrested Jesus. And even this is in Hebrews 10:15, where it talks about literally the Holy Spirit is interpreting Old Testament Scripture and then revealing it to in New Testament Scripture, if you follow that. And this says what it says, Hebrews 10:15, and the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, this is a covenant that I will make for them, for after those days, says the Lord, I will put the laws upon their heart and on their mind, and I will write on them. And then it goes on and he kind of interprets what that's saying. But this is to prove the Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture. There is, and I'm saying that, and most of you guys know this, but I'm saying that because there is a heresy within the body of Christ that is saying that this is word of God is not inerrant. This word of God is inerrant. It is Holy Spirit inspired and written. And unfortunately, the word of God is being taken out of context. It's being interpreted outside the sum of Scripture. And it's also being used to allow things that Scripture clearly says are wrong. And you guys know this. And it started from a heresy that, well, man wrote Scripture. Man actually wrote these words here. And you know, man, We screw up all time, right? So when they wrote this right here, he didn't really mean that. He messed up when he wrote that right there. He was acting like a man when he wrote that. Have you guys experienced this before? Have you ever talked with people like this? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that they were influenced by the Holy Spirit. And in Hebrews, they're actually saying the Holy Spirit wrote these things. Holy Spirit is inerrant. He's perfect, right? He's God. So to find out what he really means, coming back, we need to go to the author and we need to find out what he meant when these things were written. You know, John 14:26, he is our helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, and he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. So the Holy Spirit is there to teach us all things. He will bring to remembrance all the things that Jesus taught. So when we're sitting down, we're reading our Bible, and we're meditating on the Word, we're meditating on a portion of Scripture, we're reading it over and over again, speaking it out loud, we're inviting the Holy Spirit to be like, all right, Holy Spirit, come alongside, literally sit next to me as I'm reading this and reveal to me what your word is saying, because I want it to be applicable to my life. I want it to actually change me, because the word of God inspired, when the Holy Spirit takes the sword of the Spirit, he can make awesome changes in our lives. He changes us with the word of God, with the sword of the Spirit. And we get to know him more and more. So 1 John 2:27, as for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, abide in him. So it's saying here, a lot of times it's taken out of context too. We're like, we have the anointing. We have the Holy Spirit living inside us. We don't need anybody to teach us anything. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to hear any kind of teaching about Scripture or about God or anything, because Scripture just says right here that I don't need anything. Now, we know that that's completely false, right? Because the sum of God's word is truth. And in Ephesians 4:11, it talks about God gave us teachers. Now, why would he give us teachers if we didn't need to be taught, right? I know some of you guys are like, well, duh, Paul, come on. I'm saying this. This might not be for you, but it's for somebody. I literally have this conversation probably at least once a month with Christians. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to hear teachings from, I've got the Holy Spirit, and he teaches me all things. 1 John 2:24, whatever, 27. And I'm saying that because that is a trap of the enemy. The enemy wants you to be separated from the body of Christ, because he knows if you're like your finger is separated from your hand and it's laying on the floor, it's going to just shrivel up and die. You will be the same way if you detach yourself from the body of Christ. So I'm saying that because I'm encouraging you with one thing and warning you with the other, if you know what I'm saying. I'm encouraging you that you have the Holy Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit, the teacher living inside of me, that he will teach us all things that we can trust when we sit down and we're reading the word, and like he's actually going to feed us as we're reading the word. We can trust that. You don't have to have a seminary degree to receive revelation. You don't have to be a pastor to receive revelation. You could be a fisherman. You could be a garbage man. You could be a doctor. You could be an engineer. It doesn't matter, because it's based on your relationship and your intimacy with the Holy Spirit. The level of revelation about who God is solely based on that. So I want to just read Luke 24:15. I'm just going to read it. You guys can listen or follow along. This is, And I want you to kind of keep this in mind of like what we were just kind of talking about spending time with the Lord and actually allowing him to break down scripture for you. This is Luke 24:15. And just kind of think about that and just kind of like ask the Holy Spirit as we're even reading this, Lord, like, where is the connection here with this, all right? So this is obviously, this is after the resurrection. Jesus, he died, he rose from the dead. And you know the story, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. It was hidden. He was hiding himself from them. And he said to them, "What are these words that you're exchanging with one another as you're walking?" And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days?" He's telling Jesus this, right? And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things about Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, in sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, in the third day since these things happened, but also some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body, and came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he is alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the woman had also said to him, but they did not see him. And he said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself and all the scriptures. And they approached the village where he was going, and then he acted as though he was going farther, but they urged him, saying, Stay with us. Hang out with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. And when he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread, and he blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? Any thoughts? I'm going to open this up. Any thoughts of what we were just talking about after reading this portion of scripture? What is the connection here? What's that? He wants to communicate with us. Yeah, right? Totally. Do you see the connection of the breaking of the bread? What does Scripture say that bread represents? What? The body. What else? Life. What is manna? The Word of God, right? The Word of God. He's taking bread. He's breaking it. He's breaking it down in their midst. Their eyes are completely open. They have revelation of who he is sitting in front of him. This is what goes on when you guys read Scripture. When you're sitting down, when you're inviting Jesus to sit down with you as you're reading, saying, Lord, show me you. Show me you when I'm reading this. I don't want just words and head knowledge. Show me you. I want to experience you as I read. I want to know you more. Open up Scripture. Open up your word. Man, I'm telling you, they were probably one of the most privileged disciples out of all of them, you know. I mean, they basically got Jesus, the Word of God, completely opening up scripture at the time. They didn't have New Testament, remember? Breaking down scripture, showing him in all of scripture, starting from Moses through the prophets. Isn't that awesome? Guess what? You can experience the same thing. This is available to us, that we can know him in this, on this level, that a revelation, that literally our eyes are opened to him in scripture. When you read about Joseph being sold, you know, by, I don't know, I forget if it was 30 pieces of silver like Jesus, but it was by silver. He was sold by his brothers, thrown into prison, where you see Jesus in this story, where the Holy Spirit opens it up. Or when you read about David and you see Jesus, when the Holy Spirit teaches you, Jesus is in here. Jesus is in here. Jesus in the garden. Jesus. And you get to know him more and more. It's not, I'm telling you, it's not head knowledge. Because head knowledge, all it does is give you pride, and there's a syndrome, I call it, in the body of Christ. It's called been there, done that syndrome. You guys know what I'm talking about with that? We have, the body of Christ right now has like such a awesome, blessed abundance of good teaching right now. You guys know that? I mean, gosh, there's just been an outpouring by the Holy Spirit, just good teaching. You go to the internet. Now the internet has even helped that even more. You go to the internet, you can find basically anything you want to know about anything in the Bible. Heard from super anointed, awesome teachers. But here's the thing. The enemy has kind of used this. I know this sounds crazy, but he has used this to keep some of us immature. Because they become our Moses. And this is what happens. You hear a really good teaching about something. And then when you, and you're like, man, I got it. Cool. Yeah, I just heard this teaching about healing. Oh, no. I went to, Paul's doing these prophetic equipping workshops. And he was teaching me all this stuff about the prophetic. I got it. I know all the scriptures. I know all, you know, the cool stories, what's there, you know. Yet in their life, there's no fruit of the prophetic. Or in their life, there is no fruit of healing. Or in their life, there's no fruit of victory over sin. Just because they heard a good teaching about it, they think they have it. And then when they hear it again, they're like, oh yeah, been there, done that. And they completely shut their heart. But it's not living out in their life. The been there, done that syndrome. Have the t-shirt. Oh, here we go. Paul's talking about the prophetic again. People have really actually told me that. I was like, Paul, why are you always constantly talking about the prophetic? It's because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to equip the body in the prophetic. And I don't see everybody walking in the fullness of the maturity of the prophetic yet. Do you? I know I'm not there. Does that make sense? Don't fall into that trap of been there, done that. Allow the Holy Spirit. Because the reason why there's good teaching and why God uses teachers is for one thing. It's to, hey, I've been up there on the mountain, or whatever you want to call it. That's kind of over-spiritualizing it. And there is this, and I experienced this in God. There is a door waiting for you to do the same thing. Does that make sense? That is what teachers are supposed to be doing within the body of Christ. Is not to just share all their experiences or all their revelation. It's to be like, no, I found this in God. It is available for you now to come and experience for yourself. Because when in that, you will grow up in Christ. You will walk in the fullness of who and what you've been called to do. Does that make sense? Instead of just kind of like being tricked by the enemy because you have a head knowledge, because you heard a really good teaching about it and you know everything there is about the prophetic or whatever. I'm just speaking on the prophetic. That like now you no longer want to like, it's like you, it's kind of like immobilized you in a sense. You don't necessarily want to go do it, but you know everything about it. And the enemy's like, he's doing that because he doesn't want you stepping out into all these things that are available. He doesn't want you to enjoy your relationship with God and to grow. Yeah, I know, because I've experienced the same thing. I'll be watching YouTube and I'll like watch something about Bill Johnson or something. He's talking about something that I've heard him talk about over and over again. I'll say, yeah, I've been there, done that. And then he turned, you know. But really, it might have been something the Holy Spirit wanted to remind me. Hey, Paul, is this fruit of this teaching in your life? If it's not, you haven't been there and you haven't done it yet. I know I'm harping on this thing, but this is so huge. This has been such a stumbling block for so many believers. They have so much head knowledge about God and about spiritual things, and it's not translated to real life, which is the Christian walk. That is the definition of being a Christian, that you're like Jesus in your everyday life, not on 2 hours on Sunday morning. But this happens when you begin to feed yourself in relation with the Holy Spirit, and he begins to teach you, and you begin to experience the very words that you're reading. You know, the scripture, the power behind it is that it is, the Lord told me this one time about what the Bible is, because, you know, I'll be honest, sometimes I read the Bible and I don't get anything out of it. I perceive I don't get anything out of it. Anybody else been there? I'm the only one person being honest. Man, because if you're getting everything every time you're sitting down to read the Bible, man, let me hang out with you. But the Lord, he was teaching me, he was giving me revelation about scripture, and he said, Paul, the Bible and the Word of God is setting the stage for you to experience what you're reading. And I was like, huh, what? And I was like, yeah. And then he broke it down. He gave me some scripture to break it down. Literally, like scripture just popped in my head. Revelation. I'm not trying really hard to, where is that in scripture? Now I'm like, Holy Spirit, what are you talking about? Scripture pops in my mind. Romans 10. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. So when I read the word of God, I hear the word of God, it's giving me faith, it's building and setting the stage spiritually for me to experience the same thing that I'm reading about, because it's allowing me and giving me understanding and revelation that it is available for me and I can take it by faith. Does that make sense? This happened to me, like, I shared this with some of you guys. Back in college, we had this worship night in my dorm room or whatever, and we're chunking away some chords and just worshiping God. Everybody left, and I'm just hanging out with the Lord, and the Lord just like told me, Paul, just begin to pray in the Spirit. I was like, okay, I just began to pray in the Spirit, and then all of a sudden, like God shows up in my room. I am on the floor. I literally fall to the floor. I'm face down into the carpet, yelling at the top of my lungs. This heat and the fire was like falling on. I just felt like my body was burning up. I literally was yelling. And I remember thinking in my head, man, my neighbors are going to think I'm crazy. You know, I'm in the dorm and everything. And like, I'm like, oh my gosh, what, God, what are you doing? And then he just Paul, this is like a teeny, 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 tiny amount of love that I have for you. And I was just like blown away. I mean, I literally thought, it's like, Lord, stop. I was literally sweating. I mean, I don't know. I can't explain to you everything, but it was crazy. And I literally thought I was going crazy, honestly. But I knew it was God, and it stopped and it subsided, and I was just like, wow. I was just overwhelmed with God, if you love me that much, that, and you just gave me a little teeny tiny bit of your love for me, and I felt like I was going to die, man, what if I experienced the fullness of your love? It'd probably kill me. I'm not kidding you. The power of God, the reality of his love for us. It's awesome. But I had this revelation. I was experiencing it because guess what I was reading and I had been reading? It's Ephesians 3. I'm going to read it to you. Ephesians 3:19. It says that you may really come to know, and that word know means practically through experience for yourselves, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere head knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto the fullness of God and may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. I had read that scripture over and over before all this. I didn't know how much God loved me. I knew in my head, I had head knowledge. Of course, God loves me. That's all we, as Christians, that's what we tell non-believers all the time and other, man, God really loves you. He is so madly in love with you. And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I know that. Oh, yeah. Been there, done that. I've heard that before. I've been to school. I went to Sunday school. I know God loves me. I mean, no, they don't. If they knew beyond head knowledge, experientially, for themselves, the love of Christ, they wouldn't be a non-believer. They would be on fire completely after God, sold out for God. Because that's what happened to me. After I had that encounter, it literally changed my personality. It was so powerful. God's love literally it just kind of shaved off. I was pretty kind of a rough dude, you know, earlier on. And God kind of just like shaved off these rough by the power of his love. But do you see what I mean? He's setting the stage for us to experience him when you're reading the Word of God. He wants you to know him in an intimate, experiential way. That is why I love the Bible. Some people think it's boring. Some people think, oh, yeah, Bible. I just want to get into the Holy Spirit stuff. I just want to get into worship. And I, you know, don't get me wrong. I love worship. I'm a worship leader, obviously. But, like, I love the Word of God because I know by faith when I read the Scripture, it is setting the stage for me to have a God encounter that will change me, that will help me step into what I'm called to do, that will help me be a blessing to my family, that will help me be a blessing to my city and to the body of Christ that I'm part of. Does that make sense? So I'm encouraging you guys. Let go of that been there, done that syndrome. I mean, get real with yourself. Is this stuff, am I walking this stuff out in my life? Because if you're not, it's okay. We're growing. I'm not there yet, but I want to be there. I want to know God more. I want to experience all that he has for me. And I know that one of the number one tools he does it is by getting in this daily. I will meditate on your word day and night. I want to set the stage for me to encounter you and know you because revelation brings transformation and sanctification. I just want to end with this one story too. This is another experience. I want to make this real. I want to make this practical to you guys. There was this was in my college days too. You know, I was addicted to cigarettes. You know, I smoked like probably a pack a day. Back in the day, this is when cigarettes weren't $5 a pack either. So. and when I had come back to the Lord in my, you know, late teens, and the Lord told me something very clear. He said, like, Paul, because I was like, man, Lord, I've got all this junk in my life. How can I really walk with you again? And he told me something very clear. He's like, Paul, like, focus on one thing and I'll take care of everything else. The one thing, and you guys know the one thing, spending time, getting to know him, Jesus, being Mary. This one thing will not be, you guys know the story, Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. This one thing will not be taken away from him. And that's what I did. I just spent time with God. I had a bunch of junk in my life. Some of you guys know more of that story or whatever. And as I spent time getting to know Jesus, just focusing on that one thing, he cleaned me up all kinds of junk. I mean, he's still cleaning me up. Ask Heather. She knows more. But the point is, so when I was reading like scripture, I was just reading the Bible one day, and this is how he does it. This is how it comes. This is real life. This is practical. I'm reading scripture, and I'm reading, by random, like, I don't know, I can't honestly remember if like the Holy Spirit told me to turn to 1 Corinthians or not, but I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I get to verse 19, and it says this, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with the price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." Now, I had read that scripture multiple times. I mean, when I came back to the Lord, man, I was reading and reading. I mean, I read the Bible. I was reading and reading. I had read that scripture multiple times. But something happened that was so different that time. Because when I was reading it before, God was setting the stage for a God encounter. But that time when I read the scripture, immediately I felt in my heart this sorrow and like sadness over my smoking cigarettes. Because it was like this revelation that I received from the Holy Spirit. It's like he unveiled what I was doing to myself by smoking cigarettes. That I was actually sinning against my body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I didn't want to sin against the one I loved. And it broke me. I remember crying. I was like, oh my gosh, Father, I'm so sorry. And he led through a series of events me to be seriously, supernaturally, completely set free from addiction of nicotine, I guess you know, cigarettes. But that revelation came. I wasn't trying really hard. I wasn't like studying really hard. I was just reading and I was inviting the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come hang out with me as I'm reading the word. Talk to me about it. Speak to me about it. I want to know you and experience what I'm reading. I'm telling you, the word of God, it set me free that day. From things that, like, I tried to quit cigarettes before because I knew it was wrong. And I knew I was hurting my body. And but it wasn't until he came along and he revealed in scripture for myself. I probably had even heard a teaching about your body being a temple of the Holy Spirit. And I might have thought, oh, yeah, I know that story. All, yeah, if you had asked me like before, hey, Paul, did you know your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit? I've been like, yeah, of course I do. Yeah, psh, I know that scripture. I heard 5 teachings about it. But I wasn't living it out in my life. All right, we need to wrap this up. So, gosh, I got so much to go on this thing. And I know you guys, you're like, man, Paul, I know how to spend time with God. I know how to read scripture. I've been doing this longer than you've been alive. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to like belittle, you know, or just, you know, try to insult where your relationship is with God. But I do want to challenge you and encourage you to really allow the Holy Spirit to bring more revelation as you're reading scripture. And if you're not doing this, hopefully to inspire you and to encourage you to spend time with the Lord, engage him as you're reading to receive from him and have an encounter with him. Because that's ultimately what's it about. I don't care about knowing all. I'm not going to go on Jeopardy and like, you know, spiel all my Bible knowledge. You know what I mean? Who cares about that? I'm reading this word because I want to encounter him. Solely, that's the only reason why I'm reading this Bible. I want to know him and encounter him. Okay? And I know that's your guys' heart too. I'm going to do something. I want to, praying scripture, and you guys heard me say this, is the will of God. Like when you're praying scripture, if you know the will of God is, let me start that over again. When you know scripture is inerrant and it's God's will for your life, when you pray it, guess what? It's going to be answered. You have faith that you're going to receive it. So I encourage you guys too to pray out scripture. And I want to do something. If this is really like tugging on, if you want to know God, if you want more revelation of who God is, if you want to encounter God in the Bible more, I want to encourage you, pray this with me. Okay, this is Ephesians 1:17. I pray this scripture all the time. Because that's what I feel like we're supposed to do that this morning. We're just we're going to pray this scripture. If I can find Ephesians, so we know this is the will of God, and I just want to pray this over you guys and pray with you guys with it, because I'm praying it over my life as well. So if you're hungry for this thing, just receive this spirit of wisdom and revelation, all right? So, Lord, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Man, I am so grateful for your word. I love your word because it's about you. And, Lord, our prayer today is to experience you more and more in the word. We want to grow up. We want to look more like you. We want to see our lives reflect you. We want to be a blessing to those around us, God. We want to walk in the fullness of our callings. So, Lord, we pray, and I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened and flooded with light in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. So, Lord, we pray, Father, for a spirit of wisdom and revelation to even more come upon our lives. Lord, we want to know you for ourselves. We want to be like Joshua. We want to remain in the tent. We want to experience what we're reading. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come alongside us in even a greater measure as we read your word, and that you would just open it up to us. Father God, if there is just like, just be real, Lord, if there is just a boredom over reading your word, Lord, I just pray, Father, that you would just bring inspiration and a fire for your word and a hunger for your word again, Lord. Lord, that we would just be so hungry, Lord, that we, every day we wake up, we can't move forward without eating first. Thank you, Lord, that you want to do this, that this is on your heart, that you are actively moving and working on our behalf to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.